control. I should take it slow. I've been out here drinking all alone.
There you go, a bit of Ian Dior on Radio 3. Tattoos and you, Morris Misolowski, how are you?
Yeah, very, very good. And happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday to you. Last week, we talked about, what was it, Phobo?
Phobo, yeah.
We've got a kind of part two today, carrying on. Morris, he's obviously feeling inspired, so he's written another article telling us how our your business, not mine, is going to be killed by nostalgia. Go on, then.
Yeah. So it's a bandwagon you and I have been on quite a lot over the years, and really it has with the way that we think about the world, the way that we see it. If we kind of resist it, if we say that, you know, AI isn't here and the new fandangled video recorder is never going to stop me watching TV, all that kind of stuff, it just rolls on anyway, despite us and despite what we want. And I'm seeing that a lot in this AI conversation. People are really going hysterical. They're overplaying it. Because I truly believe...
Well, there was a time when we used to talk about tractors and stuff like that, and we do find ourselves talking about AI quite a bit, don't we?
Yeah, it must be something about I'm old, but, you know, when you get a bit older, it must be something when you look back and you say... Because this reminds me so much of the internet and the conversations I was having with clients and with you and others before the internet, of this thing that was coming in, this behemoth, that really wasn't worth worrying about. It was something for the great unwashed that they would use, and it would never make a difference to the world, and it's all nonsense and I can't do it. And really that was what this article was about. I tried to look back on some of the things that we thought were absolutely must be, can't be anything else in our lifetimes, and we've since forgotten about them and moved on quite happily. And what started all of this for me was a conversation I had late last week. One of the things I love to bring out of my little bag is the conversation, again, in Australia specifically, about the fact that it was 1975, it was a change of government, Labor government in 1975, that brought in legislation that allowed all females, not some, all females, to actually take out a loan under their own name and have bank accounts under their own name without a male attachment to it.
Yeah.
1975, I mean, it was culturally normal. I mean, how did we ever accept that and think that was okay? But yet a society was very much geared around that. Our legal system, our banking system, everything played into it and said that was the right thing to think and to have, and people played along. The point of that is that it wasn't all that good. We fooled ourselves into believing that's the way it was, it would never change. And thankfully it did. I know why it took so long, but thankfully it did. And we now see a world where I can make these kind of dry comments about something in the past, and we can laugh at how ludicrous it was to ever think that was right and that was the way the world should be.
You know, it's a bit of a sidebar, but it got me thinking that a great example, well, perhaps Dr. Frankenstein was trying to do great things when, we know the rest, and probably Jeffrey Hinton was, and Tim Berners-Lee coughed up the internet for free, and it goes a bit wrong when we get hold of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And what started this whole conversation for me was just that conversation last week, but also a recent report that came out from OpenAI, who are the originators of ChatGPT, that started all this nonsense a year and a half ago and brought it to everybody's attention. What they said, and I absolutely agree, I mean, I'm not convinced that they will do it, but I've said this for decades, and that is that this smartphone that we are all addicted to, that, by the way, most people didn't have till about 2010 onwards. So we're talking a device that's really only 14 years old for most people. I'm talking smartphones, not the Nokia ones, smartphones.
Yeah.
2004, 2010 for most people onwards, they started getting them, and now we can't live without them. ChatGPT, OpenAI, the people that originated, said that their intent was, in a very short period of time, to actually get rid of smartphones altogether, that we wouldn't need them at all with the way that we were headed down their road and other people's roads of what AI could deliver and do for us.
What did they offer instead?
What they said, and this is why, if somebody echoes what you've said, you obviously think that they're very clever. So I agree with them. And that is that when you look at what we want from this device, this little bit of rectangular glass that we carry around with us, we don't really care what it is. We didn't care what it was before. We were just told that this was a really neat way to have it. What we want are the end results. We want to hear some music. We want to be able to look stuff up. We want to be able to occasionally talk to somebody, although the phone is the least of all of the uses of it in the device. Statistically, the least used device is actually the phone itself.
Are people mostly using the VOIP function? Like, we're talking on one of those right now. The WhatsApp call.
No, they're not even using that. Most people are texting.
Okay.
So the vast majority of people do not use phones at all in any form, whether it's VoIP or something else. They text away, or they will use it for Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter or whatever else they're doing. And that's the vast majority. So it's what they're saying is that all of those bits and pieces, you know, if you want to search, well, the search engine that we knew was dead, and we've talked about that over the past few weeks,
what
we're getting now are curated responses rather than a choice, and that's going to be more and more the case. We're pushing very heavily into voice. Lots of these devices now talk to us and we talk to them. If you have any form of ChatGPT, whether it's Gemini, it doesn't matter which flavor, you know, which version, Google or anybody else, you can now actively speak to it, and it can speak to you. You can have conversations with it. That's going to become more normal. And that's what they're saying, that we don't need a rectangle bit of glass in our pocket anymore. There are lots of things we'll carry around with us around us that will give us the same sort of outcomes, and we just don't matter where it comes from anymore. And that's why they think the smartphone, again, they're talking about the difference from the dumb phone, the Nokias, to smartphones, to the next evolution of what these devices will be.
A few weeks down the line, Morris, what do you now think of that Google AI response? I've noticed a few things about it.
I think it's getting better and better is the underlying of that.
It tends to be a one-trick pony.
It's going to be.
Unless you really change your approach, it tends to be a one-trick pony. It will give you the same vocabulary. I know it's the vocabulary you put in, but you feel that with the good old-fashioned search engine, you get a few more variables.
You do, but it's like talking to your family. I mean that with all love and respect. By that I mean that you are used to having the conversation, you're used to the language, everybody uses the same tone, everybody's looking for the same sort of information, uncles, aunts, you know, kids, whatever. I mean, you hang out with people that are very similar. And there's an argument to saying that, yes, you should stretch yourself, and I believe in that argument. But what you're saying is really the equivalent of that, that we've allowed this thing, this artificial thing, to be like an auntie or an uncle or a next-door neighbour, speaks the way we like to be spoken to, uses the vocabulary we're used to, references the things that make sense to us. It's culturally normal to us to have those conversations. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I don't think it
is.
No,
it's just what
it is. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing. And it will become worse, and I do mean worse in that sense, because this device is intrusive in our lives. It's actually seeped into our bones. And that's the really strange thing. Because we speak to it, we've started to treat it like it's almost human.
So it does the same back.
And it speaks back to us, and that makes it even more human to us. So we're taking more notice of it than we would if we were reading or typing or could actually walk away from it. And we have to get really, really used to saying no to this thing. We have to get used to treating it like a child, teaching it what we want it to be, telling it how to grow up, what we expect of it, not just accepting what it's giving us. But I honestly believe the vast majority of people, me often too, just won't do that. We'll just take what it gives us. It's much easier.
The kind of AI stuff you're talking about that people use, the chatbots, et cetera, it went from a germ to something tangible really, really quickly. Has it kind of reached teenage yet, where it's getting really annoying?
I think it's almost there. I think it really has. And the big difference now is that literally, and I'm not even keeping up with it anymore, there are thousands, and that's not an exaggeration, thousands of different apps every single day. It is impossible. I spend nearly every morning now, and I've not done this for technology for a long time, nearly every morning, about a half hour or so, trying to figure out what happened the day before or 2 days before in AI land.
Yeah.
And I sit there, and if I had any hair left, I'd pull it out because it is just incredibly vast how these things do. I mean, what they can do is incredible. I'll give you an example. You know, about 3 months ago, I've got my blogs go back to 2005. I've got about 970 articles I've written there. And I've always wanted to be able to curate them and to be able to deep dive into them. So you can go in, you can choose a topic, but I really want to understand what was in them and what I said and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
I found somebody in AI land about 3-4 months ago that could do it for me.
Crazy.
It was a specialist piece of technology that had to be written. It was going to cost me, I'll tell you, $1,000 Australian to get it done. And I thought, you know, I don't really love the idea that much. I'm going to spend that kind of money on it.
$5,000 Hong Kong.
Not yesterday, but on Friday, I was doing my little half hour or so trying to find what came out the day before.
Mm.
There's this program that's been given away for free in AI world that literally does what I want it to do. It did it within about 4 minutes.
You can't.
And
knock,
I now have a complete Excel spreadsheet of every article I've ever written, when it was written, what the title was, and all the information about it.
Yeah.
And again, as I said, only a couple of months ago, I was willing to pay $1,000 for that, and I was told it had to be written specifically. That's what's happening in AI world. It's just changing dramatically.
For us uninitiated, what is happening that is allowing this stuff to be pumped out for free?
Yeah. So, first of all, most of these frees are the usual model. You know, it's free until you get addicted, and then you have to pay a bit more.
Right.
So it'll let you do a little bit and whatever. But this app I spoke about is actually free all the way through. I don't know why.
Yeah.
There must be some reason for it. Some of the times it's just pure marketing and promotion, because if you like that app, you'll use other things that they have. Often what I'm finding now, and it is really now, is that you'll get consulting people, you know, people like me, other people in AI, who are really just playing around, who haven't really seen it as a serious business yet, and they're tinkering and they're happy to share with people what they came up with. Because today's AI stuff, like that little program I've just described, will be next week's fish and chip wrapper.
Gosh, absolutely. You've got to get these guys have got in and hit it hard, haven't they? I'm talking today with Maurice Misiolowski. Once again, he's written a cool article, mauricefuturist.com, and go to the blog. The top of this is AI is coming for phones and mice next. All about nostalgia.
Yeah.
Well,
and it is, and it goes back, as I said, you know, we think about the fax machine, which was really such a big industry changer. It was phenomenal when that fax machine came out. And now it's almost, you know, it's laughable if anyone's using them.
A lot of companies, possibly government companies, still insist on using them for some
I was going to say that in Australia. In Australia, the use of them, the largest use of them, is actually in medical practices, doctors.
Why so?
Because there's still a lot of medical stuff, reports and other things, that have to be sent by fax. It's very strange, but the only place you see them. I don't know, did you ever carry a pager, Phil?
Yeah, I think they were massive.
You know, the little pager.
Everybody did.
Little pager was a little device, like a little rectangle, a little fat box, like a matchbox, a bit bigger than a matchbox.
Yeah.
If anyone's old enough to know what a matchbox used to look like. Used to carry it around. It used to give you a little ding, or perhaps if you were really out there, it would give you a couple of numbers. In other words, 999, and you'd have to figure out what it was coding. It's often used in hospitals.
Yep.
But pagers was so big for about 20, 30 years.
They're massive.
Your sales reps, all kinds of people on the road used to use them, and they've died a death, of course, because they've gone in. And this whole notion of the article speaks to that we should embrace the technology if it's purposeful and useful, but really not get stuck on it. It's more about what the end result gives us that's important, because as humans, we really only have a few things that we want out of life. We just keep reinventing and evolving the way we're going to get them.
This is really interesting, Maurice, because actually it's a fascinating article. As always, it's too long for us to really get into today, but it's about disruption, the new generation of disruption, isn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely is. And how much, look, faster's not right, but how much more there is out there all the time, which is why I'm pumping out articles like this, which is really just take a breath. I mean, I'm saying to everybody, take a breath, because last week's greatness, you know, this little app I found that doesn't cost me $1,000 anymore, is literally next week's nonsense, because somebody's evolved it 12 times. Get really true about whether it's you as a, you know, you at home or you at work. Get true about what it is you want to do. You know, what do you want to achieve? Do you like walking? You know, do you want to go out and find some great paths to walk on? Then just keep looking around, see what AI can do for you. See if there's a new app, if, you know, if there's something different about where and how you can walk, or if you can cook or whatever. In other words, get fixated on what you want it to do for you, not how it's going to do it. And that, to me, is the really important thing.
This gets into some pretty cool stuff, Maurice. Unfortunately, we've got to knock it on the head in a second. But he talks about ambient computing and AI assistants, wearables and invisibles. Not just wearables anymore, right?
Yeah. Invisibles. And the invisibles are those speakers and things that are built into our walls, into our rooms and wherever else. They just talk to you. And we will see them more and more, the same nonsense I kept hearing about. You know, why would people walk around with earbuds? It's horrible. You know, it's culturally incorrect. It's all those things. It's so normal now. And that's what I'm talking about. All these things that were once not possible will, I think, very, very quickly become ordinary.
Is it nostalgia? Or is it just wanting to hang on to something for dear life?
It's nostalgia that's going to stop us having these things in our lives.
Right.
And it's nostalgia, I think it's the romantic notion of nostalgia, and I talk about it, as we've said over the weeks, PTFA, you know, past trauma, future anxiety. It really is our foibles that will stop us from embracing or even looking at these things.
Yeah.
We don't have to be experts. We don't even have to like them. But just be open to them and make a decision about whether it is something you want in your life or not. And if it's not, just move on. There's nothing lost by saying, no thanks, not for me. I'm happy with the rest of my life the way it is.
Well, thanks for sharing that with us, Maurice, because this one's hot off the press about 3 hours ago. Your business won't be killed by AI. It'll be killed by nostalgia. MauriceFuturist.com, and have a good read there. Take care, Maurice. Brilliant stuff. Thought-provoking, as always.
Have a great week.
You too.